this what it means. Our evangelism should be targeting the unsaved, the unchurched, and the new to town. Say all three of those with me. Ready, set. Unsaved, unchurched, and new to town, or new on in online, right? Why are we saying that? It's because, you know what, I'll read this point and then you'll get really something really good. The reason is because our purpose and plan is not for church transference. I'm going to say that again. We're not looking for church transference, but rather the accepting of the gift of eternal life, being born again and being saved all for the first time, or returning to Jesus by mercy strategy and moving with compassion. The point is that there are some wonderful ministries and wonderful churches, and some of them are very closely friends and pastors of mine. And they have done a beautiful job of gathering those that might be looking for a better church than they know. Are you with me? I don't even mind. Hear me, please. I am not even the least bit upset or bothered. I thanks be to God. I want people to go where they grow. But what BCC is created and called for is that, you know what? I don't even mind if we're just a startup church. In other words, people just start up here, right? Because that somehow they had to go to from the street to come in here and get me. And the point is, it does not matter if they stay 2 years, 2 weeks, and they go somewhere else. God used who we are for them to come in and start weeping and start crying, or to understand who the Holy Spirit is, or that Jesus is really real, or that they can fit anywhere. Because some people are marginalized or minimized, and some people are might be feel like they're misfits. But what might be misfits to the world, you fit right in here. And the purpose and the matter of God is that we want to be able to reach those that may not be somewhere else. We might get you ready to go somewhere else, but while you're here, you're ours. Glory to God. We can't save the world unless you bring the world up in there. You can save the world at your cubicle, while walking to class, or virtual in class, however you do it, but won't you bring them here as well so they can experience the corporate body? And everybody said, amen. Praise God. All right. So what I want to do is share with us today, write it down, is what I'm calling Save the World Joy. For the next 5 weeks, we are going to be working through, Miss Anna, Save the World Joy. Say that with me. Save the World Joy. Say that whole phrase together when you tell other people, okay, what are y'all doing now? So don't stop at Save the World. Say, we are now in Save the World Joy. And this is number 10. And by the time we end today and close, you'll understand new things about joy. Praise God. Again, this is a collection of activations. This is not a series, but this is a collection of activations. In other words, it's not enough. And I don't care if it's Nevada High School, if it's DMAC working as a lecturer, a professor. It doesn't matter if you play, I don't know what y'all play, right? Spades, whatever you do, we want you to be able to be activated to move with the gospel in order to save the world. Amen? Turn your Bibles to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And for those that are going to be doing this electronically, we're going to start at verse 25. Could you go to the next screen for me? The clicker's not working. There we go. Oh, thank you. John 12. I know that says 27, but what we're going to do is start at verse 25. And I've got to speed along, if you will. Please, again, the scriptures, we do quite a bit of reading today, but you want good notes as well. All right, John chapter 12, verse 25. It says, those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Now, I want you to catch verse 27. It's a vital verse. This is Jesus speaking. And I want you to catch the language in the New Living Translation. It says, now my soul is deeply troubled. My soul is deeply what?
Troubled.
Don't forget that word. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason I came. Other translations, like traditional translation, says it is for this very purpose that I am here. Jesus says this is the purpose that I am on planet Earth. I came here for this moment. Father, bring glory to your name. Then a voice spoke from heaven saying, I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again. When the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to him. Then Jesus told them, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. The time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of the world, will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, when I am lifted up from the earth, listen, this is not metaphorical. This is Jesus saying of what type of way he would die. That's what the next part says. But I want to make sure you understand. He's saying, when I get lifted up, the higher up I go, on the cross and on a hill, on a mount, the higher up, that when I get lifted up, look what he says, I will draw everyone to myself. Somebody say amen. He said this to indicate how he was going to die. The crowd, verse 34, the crowd responded, we understood from scripture that the Messiah would live forever. How can you say the Son of Man will die? Just who is the Son of Man anyway? Everybody watching me? Can I get you to jump down to verse 46 and 47? This is one of the two main texts of Save the World. We're going to read verse 46 and verse 47. John chapter 12, 46 says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Praise God. I'm just going to pray this now. God, I pray that anyone that is experiencing darkness in their life, today is their day, that Jesus, you shine light into the darkness and you break them free, that they'll come forth just like Lazarus came forth out of the grave, God, just as Jesus came forth out of the grave, Lord, just as that girl who was dead and they wept over her, God, they will just wake up into a new spiritual life today. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 47. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Jesus says, I did not come to judge the world, but I came to save the world. Praise God. So we understand what it means that Jesus wants to save what? The world. Everybody said amen. Amen. Let's remember this real quickly. In John chapter 12, this, the apostle leads his scriptures or his writing where chapter 12 is the last public message that he preaches. So in other words, in chapter 12, when he's saying this, I'm not going to judge the world, I'm only going to save the world, this is his last message to the crowds and to the multitudes. Are you with me? Hey, y'all, this is very important. Why is this important? Because from this point forward, chapter 13 forward, he's going to be doing something different. This is with the crowd, and then we're going to go to the disciples. Are you with me? Praise God. So therefore, we see that. Don't turn there. I know many of us can quote this scripture, but I want to read to us in our remembrance John 10 and 10. And I want to do this from the Amplified Bible. It says this, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that they may have and enjoy life. Jesus says he came that we may have and what? Enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. I want to make sure this part is clear. If you can take this home, this is worth it. Jesus did not come for us to have to live in sorrow. Jesus did not come for us to have to live in a poverty mentality or under an oppressive spirit. We should not be living in fear. Are you with me? This is huge. How many understand we should not be addicted to anything except to the ministry of the saints? That's according to scripture. My point being is this. Likewise, Jesus said he came that we might enjoy life. To do what? But just because we enjoy life does not mean that we are addicted to pleasure. Oh, I'm preaching now. My point being is that even though you're not experiencing pleasure does not mean that you don't have joy. Praise God. Because if we only measure that we're, you know, well, that wasn't pleasurable for me. Jesus didn't say I came to give you pleasure. He said I came to give you joy. And joy is superseding of the moment of temporary pleasure. Come on, somebody. Amen. Everybody say joy. Glory to God. You might want to get these notes down. These are huge. I mean, I think some of y'all call them nuggets. But listen, get this. To enjoy life, to what? And save the world, Jesus' joys must become our joys. I don't know if y'all got that one. In order to enjoy life and save the world, we must have Jesus' joys become our joys. What that means is this. In order for us to enjoy life, we can't be going on in life about what we enjoy. We have to be about what he enjoys. Now, I know what your quietness means. Your quietness is like, well, I like some stuff that Jesus don't like. No, that's not true. He's the one who created you. He's the one who made you. He's the one who knows that you enjoy those things. Therefore, he put them in you to enjoy. Oh, y'all didn't hear what that said. I'll give you an example. My bride loves to garden. Pastor, do you love to garden? Did you see the woman of God's head? I like the tomatoes, the basil, the oregano. Are you with me? But I'm not trying to plant to get it. What's the point? I enjoy her. So when she tells me to go out and get the tomatoes, I go get it. Because I enjoy her. God knows I enjoy her, therefore I can enjoy what she does. I may not enjoy the gardening of it, but I enjoy time with her. That's what we need to learn that God gives us so that we can enjoy the life that we have. Glory to Jesus. Joy is an internal and inside job. Y'all get that? I'm going to help y'all. We're not trying and striving. Nothing wrong with it, but we're not trying and striving to be happy. Can I tell you why? You know why? I'm glad you asked. If we live to be happy, then it's based on happenstance. Right? That's why some of us are unsatisfied. It's because stuff on the outside is unsatisfying, so we unsatisfied. I can't live based on what happened on the outside because I live from the inside out. How many understand? Wherever we go, it should be lit up. Praise God. Amen. I got so many notes, I'm just going to go back over here. Not only is it internal and inside, that's a good amen on in line, thank you, is cultivated and continued by Christ and his character being completed in our lives. I'll read it all. You see, joy is internal and on the inside and is cultivated. It is what? And continued by Christ and his character and is what? Being completed in our lives. Joy comes from the character of Christ being completed in our lives. You know what joy is? Joy, we really do not ever find life until we give our life away. We do not really ever find life. Many of us are trying to find life and hold on to the life we have. But we don't experience life until we give our life away. You see, true fulfillment comes from giving, not getting and receiving. Amen. Another point about joy is this. Rather than finding something to die for, how many of you know that's really a colloquial in our society today? Especially in the generation and how people teach business and all that stuff. Well, you got to have something to die. What's something you die for? I would like to offer something different than that. How about not something to die for, but learning to find someone to die for? How about die for someone? Let me tell you why. Because when you find someone to die for, the task becomes insignificant. In other words, anything, it's nice and quiet. I like it. Okay. Y'all like, I ain't dying for nobody. All right. That's right. Yes, ma'am.
Joy is a priority.
Mm.
J for Jesus, O for others, and Y for yourself. I am third.
Come on. Amen. J for what? Jesus, others, and yourself. Oh, my God. We got a teaching, preaching mother up in the house. Amen. That's awesome, Mother Bowles. Listen, I like that first part. You know, what'd you say? What's that opening statement you said?
Priority.
Everybody say priority.
Priority.
You'll remember that in a minute. It says, rather than finding something to die for, you'll remember this statement, I promise you, but let's find someone to die for, and then the thing becomes irrelevant. Amen. Next thing is this. We must stop coming to church. I'll say that again. We must stop coming to church and become the church. Stop coming to church and become the church. What does that mean? You see, when you become the church, then coming isn't an option because I'm the church. When I show up, it's because I am the church. Are you with me? It's not an optional, I don't think I'm going this morning. No, when you are the church, I have to be there. Church is going to happen because I'm going to be there. Is everybody with me? Church is not optional if you already are it. You know what? You don't let that meal in front of you give an option. Right? They said, no, I'm not feeling you today, Trudy, and no eating me today. Amen? You know what? No lasagna today. Amen? Come on. We've got to be able to become something rather than doing something. We don't do church. We are the church. Somebody say amen. What if we laid down our lives that someone else could live? I'll say that again. What if we laid down our lives that someone else could live? Where does this come from? Don't we remember what Jesus said? Greater love no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. You see, even in this service, as well as the last service, same thing happened. When I said if you would lay down your life, it was just like this, crickets. Because you know what? I can get all of us to shout if I just twisted that a little bit and said, Jesus died for all of us. Oh, glory, hallelujah. But he already did that. So now we are recipients of what Jesus has already done, and now we get to go and do what he did for us. That's so good. Is that in the Word of God? Yes, I can guarantee you. Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible tells me I've got to lay down my life for my bride. See, that's not biblical. That is biblical, to lay down your life for those you love. Mothers do it all the time. Yeah. Mothers sacrifice their lives for their children all the time. Yeah. Right? Yeah. I was talking to a mother just the other day, just yesterday, stays up at night because the child is sick. How many understand you'll sacrifice when you're a mother like that? You'll lay down your life. How about if we lay down our life for our coworker? How about we lay down our life for the person that's on the side of the road who has a flat tire and you know how to do it really well and quick? If we lay down our lives, can you imagine somebody's life could be lifted up? That's a good word. Somebody say amen. I hope this is making godly sense. We're going somewhere. The last one is this. Joy, this is the one I wanted you to connect to Mother Bowles. Joy is a core muscle to the kingdom and to the community. Write it down. Joy is a core muscle. It's a what kind of muscle?
Core.
I can't take too much time because of the clock. But listen, how many know core muscles, when you have a trainer or you working out on your core muscles, you know, most people that work out, they want to get like buff. Are you with me? I mean, you want to get fit. How many know you want to lose some inches, some waist, or you know what, something, right? You want something to come off somewhere where you can see it, right? When you get done working out for 10 minutes, you'll be like in the mirror, like, I mean, you'll be looking for cuts, right? You'll be like, come on, man. How many know some of us be like pulling it up, you know what I'm saying? But the issue is, when you work on your core, nobody can see it. Right? Right? The trainer be like, no, we're working on your core muscles. I don't want to work on that. Can't nobody see that. But how many understand that when something gets out of whack or you hurt something, the first thing they say was, well, you have a weak core. You know why? Because joy is a core muscle. Come on, somebody. Joy is a core. Let me tell you why. This is the clears it all up. Joy of the Lord is our strength. And some of us that want to have more victories in our lives are losing because we're trying to figure it out. We're trying to get more networking. We're trying to get more money for it. But if we would learn how to get more joy, the joy of the Lord is the strength to overcome whatever you have to face. Glory to Jesus. That's where we come to believe in God. It's like if we believe ourselves, well, if I can just figure out. No. It's the joy of the Lord that causes the core muscle of our character to come forth. How many understand this pandemic don't have anything on us when we got strong core muscles? That was good preaching right there. I'm just going to come back over here. Today, I want you to write down this particular title as we go further. The joy of Jesus. Say that with me. The joy of Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, the joy of Jesus. Speaking to the camera, the joy of Jesus. Amen. So, I want you to read this. I'll read it for you and explain it. But notice what it says, and I've got to go quicker. It says, the power of biblical joy is often tangled with and triggered to triumph over trials, troubles, and tests. I'm going to say it again. The power, say power. You see, there is a difference between the world's joy and the biblical joy. Now, I know we didn't do it in here. It was a lot of family and things like that, and that's beautiful. But how many understand the joy over me wanting a pizza is very different than a biblical joy? I'll show you what I mean in a moment. You know what? I think it's wonderful that we love our children. I think it's wonderful that we love the job we have or we love gardening. But how do you understand? Those joys, unless they're the kingdom joys, they're very different than how we apply biblical joy. Let me tell you why. In the world, we have joy for something good that happened, right? Like what? How about those cyclones, right? Come on. How you going to be OSU? Come on. And be 2-1 now, right? The issue is that's a joy over a win. But that's not the same joy as the Bible. You see, the joy in the Bible is that you get joy when difficulties come. That's good. In other words, it's a different type of joy. The power of biblical joy is often tangled, meaning it's intertwined, it's twisted with, it's laced with, and it's triggered. It's what? Triggered to triumph. Get this. We want to learn how when something bad happens, something ugly is coming to us, oh, that triggered my joy. When it triggers your joy, it causes you to triumph over trials. And what's that middle word? What's the middle word? And tests. Now, think, come on, biblical people. Remember when we just read in John chapter 12 about Jesus? Jesus says that he felt trouble. He felt what? But because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. In other words, he had joy that triumphed over him being troubled. That's a good word. That's a good word. It's over trials, troubles, and tests. And everybody said amen. Amen. All right. If you will, I'm going to give you five things that I want you to write down, and then I'm going to try to move towards the end. Look, don't use the screen yet. Look here. Count it all joy. These are five things I want you to hear. These are thematic theses that you need to hear about joy. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, troubles, and tests. Do you see how that's a very different joy than the world's joy? Let me say it another way. How many of you know, I told a true story, and it, you know, I'll switch it up a little later. But the issue is, how many understand you don't like go out in a car, God forbid, and have an accident and be like, oh, glory to God. This bad boy is totaled. Are you with me? Right? That's not something that you do, right? What about this? What about if you, you know, you're in line, you know, and you're going through the line, and then you give them your ATM card, your debit card, whatever, and they slide it, you know, and they go, dun. Glory to God. Run it again. I like that sound. Oh, you come on. The Bible asked us to do some really weird things. Count it all joy. How many of you know that the teller always goes like this? Well, our machine, you know good well it's not that machine. Come on now, amen. How many of you know you're like, ugh, that's an overdraft. The issue here is we want to have biblical joy, not the world's joy. That's a good place to say amen. So count it all joy when you fall into various trials, troubles. Look at number two, or B. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The first one is James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. The next one is the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. We'll deal with these throughout these 5 weeks. C, in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. In God's presence, there is fullness of joy. That's Psalm 16, verse 11. D, now these next two, please hear me, for those who really, really, you know, study and they really want to see triumph in their lives and they want to increase in their joy. They're tired of being sad and mad. Here's the issue. D and E are the purposes of these 5 weeks. Get this. The closer Christ came to his cross, he spoke more and more about joy. Listen. I'm going to have at least five of y'all begin to say amen. He says, the closer Christ came to his cross, the closer Christ came to his what? He spoke more and more about joy. You see how the joy of the word is different? How many know the cross is the most horrific thing that we can think of? The cross is the whole entire world through stages and ages and centuries of sin being crushed upon Jesus. The Bible didn't say he took on sin. The Bible says he became sin. And Jesus, we who are believers, knows that the crucifixion and the cross and being beat with a cat of nine tails and blood everywhere. You know, Dr. Thompson says that it wasn't a stripes. It was just one stripe because his whole back was bore open. You see, we're talking about that's the most, I mean, we've gone through some bad things in our lives, but Jesus went through all of our stuff. Are you with me? And right there in the midst of that, the closer, and he knew what was going to happen. The more he got towards the cross, he spoke more and more about what? Look at that in John chapter 15, verse 11. And look at that in chapter 16, verses 20 to 24. And the last one is E. The Bible says, for the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Listen to what that says, Jacob, Lisa, Jennifer, listen, for the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross. Think about the hardest thing you have ever gone through and the hardest thing you've got to go through. Whatever argument you've been in, whatever bill you were at the bank, whatever, you know, foreclosure, God have mercy, those that are listening online, whatever's the most difficult thing, a divorce, your friend walked away from you, something that was discovered about you, was made fun of you as a high schooler, as a grade schooler, middle schooler. For the joy set before Jesus, he endured. He what? He endured the cross, despising the shame. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Now I've got to move expediently, but it says, please consider and rethink how the relevance of biblical joy faces difficulty more than just an expression of a pleasure or a goal. You see, we're so good at expressing joy and happiness and all of those things when something good is going on. But the word says that we want to express the joy when we face a difficulty. And everybody said amen. Why don't you just read along, if you will. I'm going to go to James. I can't have you. I've got to go fast. So listen, James chapter 1. I want you to hear what the scripture says in verses 2 to 4. It says this, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, when troubles of what? Come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Verse 3, for you know that when your faith is tested, when your faith is tested, your endurance, your what? Endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Please don't tire out me. I've got a good close here. Jesus wants us to know that we want to count it all joy when we fall into all kinds of trouble. Amen. I won't go through it, but I want you to remember, you need to read this week, John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I gave you a preview about it already. So you go from 12, where he's preaching to the multitudes, to chapter 13, to where Jesus now is doing what? Preaching to his disciples. Everybody with me? So right there's two points, the beginning of the chapter and the end of the chapter. At the beginning of the chapter, this is the passage of scripture where Jesus gets down and he cleanses and washes his disciples' feet. Are you with me? Write these two points down, if you will. The first one is this. Why does Jesus do this? It's because a joy of Jesus is to serve sacrificially. One of the joys of Jesus is to serve sacrificially. And when you come to the end of the chapter, John chapter 13, this is the passage of scripture that Jesus says, he says, I am going to give you a new commandment. I'm going to give you a what? New commandment. The new commandment is this, that you would love one another as I have loved you. You see, this passage of scripture is in the Old Testament, except Jesus adds this one part. Watch it. He says, as I have loved you. You see, the standard for love is not based on you and me. In other words, it's not based on how I can love or cannot love. We're supposed to love one another as Jesus, just like Jesus loved us. That's the standard of loving one another. As Jesus has loved you, then that's the way you love others. Glory to God. I'd never seen this before. In verse 1, John chapter 13, verse 1 says this, for I have those and I have kept them whom I have loved to the end. That I've loved to the what? That I've loved to the what? I want you to know this, that another part of loving this new commandment is this. The loving Jesus, loving one another like a new commandment is to love each other till the end. Write it down. To love one another till the end. What does that mean? That means we don't stop loving each other because you cross me. That means that I don't fall out with you, so I don't love you anymore. And you know what? I know this is social media talk, but stop blocking each other. Got quiet. One person laughed. Amen. That's all right. You know how many? Why are we blocking? Now, of course, if you got a stalker, you block him. But I'm talking about, I'm tired of you. I'm going to block you. That is really sincerely, is. I'm just going to ask this one prayer. Jesus, do you want me to block them? Can we love one another like Jesus loved us? Are you with me? Not sure if you're going to play or not, Peter. If you like to, you certainly can. I want to share with you right now, and I want to go to this last part. Everybody say joy. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, you've got to read it. In Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, I don't want you to miss that one phrase that I've read already. I want you to repeat it after me. The Bible says, Jesus, say Jesus, he endured the cross. What did he do? He what?
He
because of the joy that was set before him. I want you to hear that. Jesus endured the crucifixion and the cross because of the what? And if that's the most heinous thing that we can think of, and he was able to go through it, then how much more is joy to us? Amen. One pastor said it this way: we have underestimated the power of joy. We have mismanaged the power of joy. If this is all Jesus talked about on his way to the cross was joy, and then the writer of Hebrews says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. How many of us are dealing with shame or embarrassment or just can't take it anymore? He endured that because of the joy. Say joy. Now, I want you to know something about joy that I understand. In Genesis chapter 22, Genesis chapter what? You got to read it, verses 1 to 14. The Bible talks about Abraham. And Abraham, who is the father of the faith. Abraham is who, what? The Bible says that the scripture says, God says to Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him as a sacrifice unto me. So what does Abraham do? Now, how many know that's a hard request? He gathers up his son. He gathers up his two servants. And they go to the mountain. They go to the what? And they get to the mountain, and he tells the servants, you stay here. Me and my son, or the lad, are going to go up to worship, and we will return. How many know that's an act of faith? So then, while they're going, the Bible says that Isaac carried the wood. His son carried the what? And as he's carrying the wood, he's like, hey, Dad, here is the wood. Here is the fire. But where is the lamb? Abraham says another immeasurable statement of faith. He says, God will provide a lamb for himself. Come on, somebody. Do you hear what I'm saying? Think about your life. God, I see these things, but where is the thing that's missing? God said, Abraham said, God will provide a offering lamb for himself. Say amen. So they get up to the place, and this is what I want you to understand. They had fire. Now you got to use your imagination. That's fire. You got that? They had fire, and the Bible says, and they had Isaac, and he was on the wood. So Isaac the son is on the wood, and they had the fire for a burnt offering. And then the Bible says, Abraham drew back the knife to kill this boy. Why? Because Abraham is not playing church. We've got to learn that this is what is real, and it's real to our lives. And we're not just here for religious purposes. This is our lives. So Abraham draws back to kill his son. You got to get a picture of this. Father, son, fire of the Holy Spirit. Father, son, on the wood with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Father, son, wood, cross, fire, Holy Spirit. Why is this so valuable? Because the Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 56, that Abraham, Jesus is teaching, and he says, Abraham saw my day. He knew it, and he saw it. Wait. How can hundreds and hundreds of years before could Abraham see Jesus, the Son of God? Because he saw it as a metaphor when he was about to kill his son. They had the wood for the cross. He was the Father, and the fire was there. Somebody say amen. Can I tell you more? The Bible says that the angel of the Lord came and stopped him and said, wait, I now know that you did not withhold your own son from me, even though you loved him, even though he was the only begotten son. But now I will give you everything because you have given everything to me. Some of us are holding back on things in our lives that Jesus wants you to give it to him. It's time for us to give God everything because you cannot beat God giving. Glory to God. But wait, the angel of the Lord, the who? The angel of the Lord is Jesus. And the angel of the Lord says, stop. I see what you're doing, Abraham, but that's just a foreshadow, a figure of what me and the Father are going to do 2,000, 4,000 years later, where I'm going to be the Son. The Father is going to have me be crucified, and I will not stop that because I'm going to finish what you began. You see, Hebrews chapter 12 says that he is the author and the finisher of our faith because Jesus finished what began with Abraham. He completed it, and the joy that was set before him was to finish that which was started in faith. He finished it for us so we can have joy, salvation, and life forevermore. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he what? And he what? And he was what? Glad. You see, he saw it. When he went through that, what is God wanting your joy to be increased for? For your strength, for your power, so you can go through the test, go through the trial, so you can strengthen the spiritual core, so that things stop getting you down, where you stop taking pills. How many of you know you can stop taking them when Jesus fills you? How many of you know you don't have to be mad at everybody just because they crossed you, when you can even bless people that happen to put up the wrong finger when they drive past you? You just bless them as they go by. I'm trying to tell you, when you've got joy, it comes from the inside out, not from the outside in. Can I get you to put up that last scripture? God, have mercy. Help me to remember everything. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, look at it. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When God was testing him, Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his son, Isaac. Through him, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted, Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. Amen? In other words, this is the true story of what they did back those years ago. Here's how I would like to close in your meditation and your preparation. Those that are online and those that are in attendance, can I get you to close your eyes for just a moment? Here is the issue. Why does we end on this passage? I want to tell you why. Because some of us have allowed and sometimes forgotten that the enemy came to steal our joy, to kill our hopes. And right now we're in a deficit of the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And I'm saying to us all, and who am I speaking to? But may it come down and seep into your heart and give a revelation to your spirit and soul that the issue of God is, you, Abraham, is the father of faith, and he did this. He said, I'll kill this boy because I know my God can make him live again. That's the answer you needed. You see, you thought this was the end of whatever you're going through. You thought that this is the baddest situation. You thought, you know what, this is over. I can't take it anymore. I can't wear it out. I can't do this with the children. I can't do this at home. I don't know how I'm going to do this at the job. But I say to you, the same faith, even more now that you have Jesus in you, Abraham leads the way. He says, even though something looks dead, our God can make it alive again. Even though something looks hopeless, Jesus Christ in us is the hope of glory. Even though I feel down, I'm going to choose to have joy because it's my strength to overcome trials, troubles, and tests. I've got to have more joy. So, Father, all those that's under the sound of my voice that have read these scriptures from their phones or online, on the slides, however they got to this very vulnerable and transparent moment, I pray to speak truth even through the internet, even within this room with the soft and beautiful melodies behind us. I pray all of it is being used to increase the joy of the Lord. God, we've got more things to do, so we must endure more. God, we've got to overcome obstacles so I can build the character and the Christ core in me. I don't want to slip and fall anymore, God. I need strength in my core. I'm asking God that you would go out and supernaturally breathe into life. Breathe life into all those. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a big roar, if you will. Will you stand up? Come on, let's just shout to the Lord. Come on, will you just shout to the Lord for just a moment? Come on, joyfully, joyfully.